This evening we'll be looking at Article 17 of the Canons of Dort, the third and fourth head of doctrine. You can find that on page 909 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. Page 909, Article 17. I'll read this article for us. God's use of means in regeneration. Just as the almighty work of God by which he brings forth and sustains our natural life does not rule out but requires the use of means by which God, according to his infinite wisdom and goodness, has wished to exercise his power, so also the aforementioned supernatural work of God by which he regenerates us in no way rules out or cancels the use of the gospel, which God, in his great wisdom, has appointed to be the seed of regeneration and the food of the soul. For this reason, the apostles and the teachers who followed them taught the people in a godly manner about this grace of God, to give him the glory and to humble all pride, and yet did not neglect meanwhile to keep the people, by means of the holy admonitions of the gospel, under the administration of the word, the sacraments, and discipline. So even today, it is out of the question that the teachers or those taught in the church should presume to test God by separating what he, in his good pleasure, has wished to be closely joined together. For grace is bestowed through admonitions. And the more readily we perform our duty, the more lustrous the benefit of God working in us usually is, and the better his work advances. To him alone, both for the means and for their saving fruit and effectiveness, all glory is owed forever. Amen. Now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse 22. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22, but before we do, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do, that we might see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as we've seen so far, as we've worked our way through the canons of Dort, regeneration, or being born again, means that the Holy Spirit gives us who were dead in our sins and trespasses a new spiritual life. Just like Ezekiel preaching to the dry, sun-bleached bones, the Holy Spirit revives us and gives us spiritual life. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses, sun-bleached, dried bones. But now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been born again. We have been given a new spiritual life. And the question at this point is, now what? Now what? Now that we are born again, now that we have this new life in Christ, how is that new life sustained? How is that new life fed? God is the Lord and the giver of life. He's also the one who sustains life and keeps us living. And he does this through means, as we saw in Article 17. Our natural bodies need food and water in order to survive. The human body can make it for about 3 weeks without food and about 3 days without water. And so, boys and girls, we need food and we need water in order to live. And we need good, healthy food so that we can grow and be healthy. If we fill up on pop and candy, we're just going to be hyper. And it's not going to make us stronger or healthier. And in the same way, we need spiritual nourishment, spiritual food, so that we can grow strong and healthy. God's word is the healthy spiritual food that helps us remain healthy and strong. And there are things that we can fill up, spiritually speaking, and have a spiritual sugar rush, a spiritual high. But the meat and the potatoes, the healthy food for the Christian life, spiritually speaking, is God's word and his sacraments. What are the main ways that we are fed, that we are nourished, spiritually speaking? The Holy Spirit gives us all of the blessings of salvation. Everything that Christ has earned, the Spirit pours out into our life. And he does this in a specific way, by specific means. The way that God pours out his grace into our lives is through his word and through his sacraments. This is how the blessings of grace are poured into our lives. It's through these channels which Christ has set up in the church that his grace flows to us. And these are called the means of grace, the way that God feeds us with his grace so that we can grow. In John 6, Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. And he's using that same physical and spiritual analogy that we saw in the canons of Dort. He's not literally bread, but rather is the nourishment that we need spiritually for that eternal life. And that's the point he's bringing home. We are fed and we are strengthened through the gospel as it is proclaimed and through baptism in the Lord's Supper. This is how God feeds us. It's through the means of grace that our soul is fed, first of all. And secondly, that our faith is strengthened. And those will be our 2 points this evening. First, it's through the means of grace that our soul is fed. Article 17 in the Canons of Dort uses a lot of words and a lot of complex sentences to pretty much say that the Bible is our spiritual food. Here's what Article 17 says. Just as the almighty work of God by which he brings forth and sustains our natural life does not rule out but requires the use of means by which God, according to his infinite wisdom and goodness, has wished to exercise power. Translation, God feeds us when we're hungry. When we are physically hungry, God feeds us. And he does so by specific means. God doesn't just supernaturally take your hunger away from you. Instead, God works through the farmers and the gardeners who are growing food for us to eat, and the grocery stores and the markets who are selling that food to us, and the bakers and the cooks who are preparing food, so that when we are hungry, we can eat and be fed. And so just like God works through certain people and things that are already in place to feed us physically speaking when we're hungry, spiritually, when it comes to us needing to be fed spiritually, God also has things, means in place in order to sustain us and nourish us and strengthen us. So also, the aforementioned supernatural work of God by which he regenerates us in no way rules out or cancels the use of the gospel. So God regenerates us, turns hearts of stone into hearts of flesh by the word of God going out with power and the Holy Spirit at work in your life, turning you in faith to him. But what Dort is saying is that it doesn't end there. Not only does he give you that new life, bring you from dead, sun-bleached bones to a living human being spiritually, but here it's that same gospel, that same word that's going out with power, that's feeding you and sustaining you. God in his great wisdom has appointed to be the seed of regeneration, and Dort points out that it's the food of the soul. God feeds us spiritually through His Word, with His Word. Now, how does this happen? Well, the Holy Spirit feeds us with Christ through the preaching of the Word. You can think of Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that same faith that came about by the hearing of God's Word is the faith that is strengthened when we hear the gospel being proclaimed, when we hear God's Word, and when we celebrate the sacraments together. For this reason, the apostles and the teachers, Article 17 goes on to say, who followed them taught the people in a godly manner about this grace of God, to give Him the glory and to humble all pride, and yet did not neglect meanwhile to keep the people by means of the holy admonition of the gospel under the administration of the Word, the sacraments, and discipline. Now, what does all of this mean for us? What is this teaching us to do? The reason that it is so important for us to come to worship is to hear the Word of God proclaimed and to receive the sacraments, because this is the way that God has chosen to feed us spiritually. Now, the Lord can do absolutely anything. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 6, He supernaturally fed the 5,000. 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeding 5. So He can supernaturally do anything. He can miraculously regenerate a dead sinner without the use of means. But the way that God has chose to normally and ordinarily feed us, nourish us, sustain us spiritually is through His Word and through His sacrament. And we've already explored how amazing His Word is. I mean, you go back to Genesis, in the beginning God speaks, and out of absolutely nothing comes everything because of His Word. And that's the Word that's being proclaimed to us and feeding us each and every Sunday. But it happens each and every Sunday. And we begin to take it for granted. It's normal, it's ordinary, it's feeding us. Now, what this means for us is that we need to be concerned for our inward, eternal life, just like we're concerned about our outward and temporary life. Do you skip a meal without noticing? If we skip a meal for some reason, we know about it. We get hungry. We probably have never gone a day or two and then realize, oh, I forgot to eat this past week. No, our stomachs are growling. We're starving. Give me something to eat. Well, what about worship? What about feeding on God's Word and on His sacraments? Do we notice when we're starving spiritually? Oh, I forgot to eat this week. If your physical body can only last so long without nourishment, what does that mean for your spiritual health? 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so notice there how Timothy is saying, yeah, exercising is important. It has value. It's just that godliness has more value because it's dealing with the eternal realities. So eat well. Sleep well. Get the exercise that you need and take care of your soul. Peter says a similar thing, but he uses the analogy of grass and flowers instead of exercising. He says, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was proclaimed to you. Our flesh is temporary, like the flowers, like the grass, but God's word remains forever. And then Peter applies this with that little explanation at the end. The word of the Lord that remains forever is the word, the good news that was preached to you. And now we have Jesus in our passage this evening saying, I'm the bread of life. Verse 35, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. when you look at verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. We're in the effectual calling section of the Canons of Dort. How those God calls are brought in. And here Jesus is saying, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Here we have an example of God's calling and drawing us to Jesus. And how do we get to Jesus as the bread of life? How does God give us his grace? It's through his word, the gospel of salvation. And here we have that promise to remember and to hold on to, that God promises to feed us and nourish us through his word. He promises to pour out that grace earned by Jesus Christ into our lives through his word and sacraments. When we hear the gospel preached, when we celebrate communion and baptism together, God is pouring out his grace into our lives, feeding us, nourishing us spiritually. Louis Burkhoff explains it like this. He says that when we talk about the word as a means of grace, or the way that God pours his grace into our lives or feeds us spiritually, we're talking about the word of God as scripture, as it is preached to the church. It is the word of God's grace, and as such, the most important means of grace. James 1 verse 18, he shows to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all creation. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The specific emphasis is on the word as it is preached in the name of God. But right along with that comes the sacraments. Now, when we think about John 6, Jesus is talking about us eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Is he talking about communion there? Well, John Calvin explains that John 6 does have something to do with the Lord's Supper. But it's not a systematic lecture about communion, or it's not instruction about proper participation in the Lord's Supper like 1 Corinthians 11 is. But what Jesus says here about our spiritual eating and drinking enriches our understanding of what's going on when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Verse 27, Jesus explains to his followers that normal food perishes. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures forever, which the Son of Man will give you. So you can imagine everyone's thinking, they just experienced him feeding the 5,000. They've had their stomachs full. He went across the lake. Hey, we're going to follow him. And now he's saying, hey, you know, don't work for food that perishes, but rather this food that endures forever, endures to eternal life. And everyone's thinking that, well, hey, I want this everlasting food, this food that I don't have to work for. What does it take for me to have this bread? This everlasting bread. And so they say, verse 34, sir, they say, give us this bread always. And what does Jesus respond with? What does he say? Well, surprise, it's me. I'm the bread of life. You can imagine this crowd kind of scratching their head at this point. What's going on? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he goes on to say in verse 54, has eternal life. Now the other Gospels tone this down a little bit. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, take and eat, this is my body. And he says that as he hands them a piece of bread, which is obviously not a literal chunk of his flesh, but rather, okay, he's talking, analogy here, this is my body, okay, it's metaphorical. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he's pouring wine in a cup and he's handing it to the disciples. So obviously, it's not his blood that he's filled that cup with, literally. So Matthew, you can see how it's not a literal piece of Jesus' flesh that's being eaten. But here in John, Jesus is speaking in a very graphic way. Not body in general, but he takes things to the next level and he's talking about his flesh. It's not just take, eat, but more graphic than that. It's chew, consume me, eat all that I am. Whoever chews on my tissue, my flesh, has eternal life. Whoever consumes me, takes me into themselves, has this eternal life. And you can see how later in this chapter, he loses a bunch of disciples. They're taken aback. What is he talking about? Many of them leave. This is a hard teaching, they say. Who can understand this? When Jesus says true food in verse 55, it's that true, real food in the spiritual sense. Just like verse 27 compares real physical food that spoils with the true food that endures to eternal life. It's the real presence of Christ. Not his literal body or corpse, but rather the spiritual reality that we are really and truly united, consuming, taking Christ in. He's truly feeding us spiritually. Our souls are fed. And secondly, this evening, our faith is strengthened. Our faith is strengthened. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 speaks of our new spiritual life, that regeneration. And it speaks of it in terms of that initial regeneration, God taking that heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. But then Peter goes on to talk about our preservation, how we are sustained in this new life. And Dort does the same thing, the seed of regeneration and the food of the soul. And as we think about that, the question is, well, how are we born again? Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is the one who does this work, and he does it through faith. Faith comes through hearing, hearing through the Word of God, as Paul tells us in Romans 10. And it's that same Word that now sustains us and feeds us and strengthens our faith. I like how Peter Feenstra put it. He says, for the church to be the dining room of the Holy Spirit. So the dining room of the Holy Spirit, it must bear the marks of pure preaching and the right use of the sacraments and proper exercising of Christian discipline. Where there is no preaching, people are deprived of hearing the word that must move them to repentance. They are denied spiritual nourishment. And so you have the word going out. You have the preaching of the word. People being fed. You have the administration of the word and the sacraments themselves. Communion and the Lord's Supper. The gospel visibly proclaimed. And as a result of the gospel going out, you have this Christian discipline. Because when God's word goes out, it teaches us how to live. It corrects us when we're off track. We're hungry for the word so that we will grow. The last part of Article 17 says this: for grace is bestowed through admonition, and the more readily we perform our duty, the more lustrous the benefit of God working in us usually is, and the better his work advances. To him alone, both for the means and for their saving fruit and effectiveness, all glory is owed forever. Amen. What's it saying there? The more we feast on God's word, the more lustrous the benefits of God working in us usually are, and the better his work advances. The Lord's Supper gives us that assurance when our faith is weak. We have this supper to see and to touch. For my flesh is true food and my body is true drink, Jesus tells us. Did you see the bread when we celebrated communion last week? Did you touch it? Did you taste it? just as real is the salvation that Christ has accomplished for you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. After saying this, we didn't read this part, but verse 66, you notice that many of Christ's followers fell away, no longer walked with him. And then he turns to the disciples who are left, and he says, do you want to go away as well? Everybody else is left. And what does Simon Peter say? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And people of God, that eternal life isn't something that we will experience once we die. Eternal life in Christ starts now. It's easy for us to take this simply to mean that you have words that tell you about eternal life and about salvation. But think about Peter's statement in light of what we have been studying about God's word as the regenerating power which gives us hearts of flesh. As God's word which is sustaining us and keeping us going. So when Peter says, you have the words of eternal life, it's not simply talking about a future reality, which it is, but it's also a present reality as well, because his words of eternal life are what have brought us who are dead sinners back to life and what's keeping us going from day to day. So why is it so important for us to be at worship? Hearing the gospel proclaimed and the sacraments administered. What's the result when we use the means of grace? Our faith is strengthened. Our assurance, our confidence of salvation grows. Last Saturday, I had the opportunity to speak to some of the area youth groups from Orange City and Sanborn at the Stand and Deliver event. And the topic was worship. And we covered Reformed liturgy, why we worship the way we do, and the principles of Reformed worship. And then after the talk, as we threw around some questions, the question came, well, why is evening worship so important? And in response, I asked if there were any farmers in the area. We had a few leaders too. Anyone who lived on a farm and anyone there who raised livestock. And there was one guy, I think his name was Jeff, he raised his hand and he raises hogs and cattle. And I asked Jeff, I said, Jeff, if you feed your cattle and your hogs half as much, so if you cut their feed ration in half, would they still be as healthy and weigh the same as they did on full rations? And obviously he said, no way. So what happens to us spiritually when we cut our feed rations in half or cut our intake of God's word in half? Would we ever skip a meal because we were on vacation? Well, we're on vacation, so we didn't eat last week. No. Or because Sunday evening is family time or football night, so we just didn't eat. No. If Jeff makes sure that he feeds his hogs and his cattle full rations, how much more true is it this reality, spiritually speaking, when it comes to God feeding us with his word? The more we take advantage of God's means of grace, the more readily we perform our duty, responsibility, the more lustrous the benefit of God's working in us usually is, and the better his word advances. Our faith grows and is strengthened when we are intentional about coming to worship, sitting under the preaching of the word, receiving instruction and admonition. Our faith grows and is strengthened when we are nourished and we are fed as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, as we celebrate baptism together. And this is why we're told not to forsake the gathering together of believers. Don't starve yourself spiritually. Instead, come to Jesus, who is the bread of life. Because he says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Our soul is fed. Our faith is strengthened. To him alone, both for the means of grace, word and sacraments, and for their saving fruit and effectiveness, all glory is owed forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your grace poured into our lives. Father, we thank you that not only do you save us and regenerate us, but you sustain us with your word and spirit. You feed our starving souls your word. You keep us healthy and strong. And it's our prayer, Lord, that we will never stop longing, thirsting, hungering for Christ, and that we will depend on him each and every day of our lives. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.